And no one had to tell the Baudelaire orphans that there was no way of knowing for sure, because before they became orphans, they lived for many years in the care of their parents, and trusted their parents to keep on caring for them. But circumstances changed, and now their parents were dead, and the children were living with a handyman in a town full of crows. But even though there is no way of knowing for sure, there are often ways to know for pretty sure. And as the three siblings watched Hector work in the kitchen, they spotted some of those ways. The tune he hummed, as he chopped the ingredients, for instance, was a comforting one. And the Baudelaires could not imagine that a person could hum like that if he were a kidnapper. When he saw that the Baudelaires' tea was still too hot to sip, he walked over to the kitchen and blew on each of their mugs to cool it. And it was hard to believe that someone could be hiding two triplets and cooling three children's tea at the same time. And most comforting of all, Hector didn't pester them with a lot of questions about why they were so surprised and silent. He simply kept quiet and let the Baudelaires wait until they were ready to speak about the scrap of paper he had given them. And the children could not imagine that such a considerate person was involved with Count Olaf in any way whatsoever. There was no way of knowing for sure, of course, but as the Baudelaires watched the handyman place the enchiladas in the oven to bake, they felt as if they knew for pretty sure, and by the time he sat down and joined them at the table, they were ready to tell him about the couplet they had read. "This poem was written by Isadora Quagmire," Klaus said, without preamble, a phrase which here means almost as soon as Hector sat down.
"Wow," Hector said. "No wonder you were so surprised. But how can you be sure? Lots of poets write couplets. Ogden Nash, for instance."
"Ogden Nash doesn't write about sapphires," said Klaus, who had received a biography of Ogden Nash for his 7th birthday. "Isadora does. When the Quagmire parents died, they left behind a fortune in sapphires. That's what she means by, 'For sapphires we are held in here.'" "Besides," Violet said, "it's Isadora's handwriting and distinct literary style."
"Well," Hector said, "if you say this poem is by Isadora Quagmire, I believe you."
"We should call Mr. Poe and tell him," Klaus said.
"We can't call him," Hector said. "There are no telephones in VFD, because telephones are mechanical devices. The Council of Elders can send a message to him. I'm too skittish to ask them, but you can do so if you wish."
"Well, before we talk to the council, we should know a bit more about the couplet," Violet said. "Where did you get a hold of this scrap of paper?"
"I found it today," Hector said, "beneath the branches of Nevermore Tree. I woke up this morning, and I was just leaving to walk downtown to do the morning chores, when I noticed something white among all the black feathers the crows had left behind. It was this scrap of paper, all rolled up in a little scroll. I didn't understand what was written on it, and I needed to get the chores done, so I put it in the pocket of my overalls, and I didn't think of it again until just now, when we were talking about couplets. It's certainly very mysterious. How in the world did one of Isadora's poems end up in my backyard?"
"Well, poems don't get up and walk by themselves," Violet said. "Isadora must have put it here. She must be some place nearby."
Hector shook his head. "I don't think so," he said. "You saw for yourself how flat it is around here. You can see everything for miles around, and the only things here on the outskirts of town are the house, the barn, and Nevermore Tree. You're welcome to search the house, but you're not going to find Isadora Quagmire or anyone else, and I always keep the barn locked because I don't want the Council of Elders to find out I'm breaking the rules."
"Maybe she's in the tree," Klaus said. "It's certainly big enough that Olaf could hide her in the branches."
"That's true," Violet said. "Last time Olaf was keeping them far below us. Maybe this time they're far above us."
She shuddered, thinking of how unpleasant it would be to find yourself trapped in Nevermore Tree's enormous branches, and she pushed her chair back from the table and stood up.
"There's only one thing to do," she said. "We'll have to go up and look for them."
"You're right," Klaus said, and stood up beside her. "Let's go."
"Get hit,"
Sunny agreed.
"Hold on a minute," Hector said. "We can't just go climbing up Nevermore Tree."
"Why not?" Violet said. "We've climbed up a tower and down an elevator shaft. Climbing a tree should be no problem."
"I'm sure you three are fine climbers," Hector said. "But that's not what I mean."
He stood up and walked over to the kitchen window.
"Take a look outside," he said. "The sun has completely set. It's not light enough to see a friend of yours up in Nevermore Tree. Besides, the tree is covered in roosting birds. You'll never be able to climb through all of those crows. It'll be a wild goose chase."